Lacey.
Thanks, David. Yeah. We've missed you.
Yeah.
Yay, Whitney. So yesterday we were at a memorial service for a beloved friend and a longtime Ridgecrest person, and it was fun to be there. When you looked around the room at the history that was in the room, and there was just, there are people that maybe I haven't seen for, I knew, you know, you kind of know them. It's like, oh, you look familiar. And they, someone would tell you, in fact, I had to ask people, who is that person there? Oh, yeah. You know, maybe I didn't know them, but you knew of them, you know? And so you started to discover the web of this person and how he connected with people in the valley and with ministries. And it, his history in the valley was, what, 40, 50 years? I don't know.
At least.
Yeah, so it was just kind of fun. And they had buttons for everybody when we came in. And I should have brought it out. It's like back in my bedroom. And he used to say this all the time. The button said, "You are loved."
Do you want me to go grab it?
That's all right. It said, "You are loved." And he was, so when people would come and meet with him and complain or be frustrated or share their story, he would always just look him in the face and just say that, "You're loved." And it was just fun. And that's been his life. That's been his life song. And so everybody was enjoying talking about that. You know, the other thing that was the most asked thing to me, because a lot of people, when you go to a place like that, they would always come up and like, haven't seen you either, right? Person that everybody was asking about, him. Adolf.
He's a star.
Adolf.
He's a star.
And it's like the opening question. It's not, "Hey, Danny, I've missed you." "Hey, how's Adolf?" So you're quite the story.
You're movie star.
Yeah, you're movie star. But you know what? Some of them, I had a couple. So you're in a room filled with powerful believers.
Oh, awesome.
Christian men and women that their whole life has been walking in this kind of strength. And the ones that would sit here and talk more about Adolf, they would, I had two very specific ones, I won't give names, but said, "I don't understand." They said, "How does I don't understand God." They weren't mad, but they said, "This guy, everybody who prays for anybody, they're healed." And yet, you know, they're basically saying, and yet he's got this junk in his life. Yet he's got this circumstance of his own in his own body. And I would sit there and just kind of go, "Yeah." You know? Actually, he didn't have a brilliant answer. I'm letting them process, I guess. But we were talking about it's like God clearly tells us what to do with cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're stymied by, and I wouldn't say that the room was patterned by a group of believers who say, Let's go contend for healing. They believe in it, but they haven't necessarily walk in it. You know, like, let's go. They see it and they enjoy it. And there's a room full of strong believers that go, enjoy watching the ministry of Adolf, but it's not their experience. And now they're perplexed. And I thought, well, that's an interesting observation. So to me, I thought, and I would share this with a couple of them, like, well, how are you going to get your answer? What are you going to do about your dilemma here? What are you going to do about this question you have? I only did that to two people, and they looked at me with kind of that fish look.
I missed it. What did you ask them?
What are you going to do about that dilemma? They said, "I don't understand God." Somebody, you know, like, and they and one of them said, "I guess I'll have to ask him when I get to heaven." I said, "Well,
ask him now."
I should have said that. I told him, actually, I said, "Well, you could do that."
I'm not waiting.
So I thought, you know, here's a man who walks with an expectation of a miracle, right? And I'm thinking, what is this divide between a believer who's we're saying the same thing, sort of, really. Most of it, it really is. You would walk in and hear us talk about the same things,
mm-hmm.
but there's that expectation of the miracle seems to be missing, right? And so I was thinking, okay, God, we've been talking about this assignment we have as walking as a king, mm-hmm. right? Kings know who they are. Kings know what their authority is, and they have no trouble exercising that authority, right?
Right.
Right. So really, that's what we're getting into is like, so what is it that's sort of disabling you in believing that you have that kingly mantle, you have that authority inside of you? What is that gap there?
Mm.
And I've been actually in different forms having that kind of conversation with lots of people recently over the last several weeks, maybe even months. And mm-hmm. so I just want to help you because you're going to have these same conversations, right?
Yeah.
So to the gospel, and I've said this so many times, but it really, I want you to get this in your insight. It just anchored inside of you. I really believe, because somebody challenged us last week on our theology, or not challenged us, questioned, like, what is... Help me understand this about, mm-hmm. it was about Bethel and some things that we believe. And I told this person, I said, look, it does break down to two questions.
Mm-hmm.
You as a believer,
right.
I'm in a room filled at a funeral yesterday with believers.
Yeah.
And I said, there's two questions. How do you describe God?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you go into a room of believers, they're going to describe it to him differently.
Yeah.
Some is going to be way out there. Others, he's going to be, right? He's here.
Yeah.
Right? He's mm-hmm. my friend. His father. He's like, I'm his kid sitting on the bed, and he's talking to me, and I'm bouncing on the bed and enjoying him, right? So who's God? Who is he? Who is he? How do you describe him, right? And the second one is, how do you describe you?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I in that story, right? And believers have a different answer
right,
about
right.
that.
Yeah.
Whether they're a Catholic, and that's why I don't throw stones at the Catholics. I don't throw stones at the Nazarenes and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians. I don't throw stones at the Mormons. We had that conversation Friday morning. Somebody asked me with Adam, and you know, we were like, it had to do with, can a Mormon find Jesus?
Yes.
I said, the answer better be yes.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
So it's like, because you know what, they're all answering those two questions. Literally, they're answering those two. Our journey is, how do I answer those questions?
Sure.
Right? Who's God? And who am I? And can I accept what God says about me? Right? Who is God and who am I? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I discover that, right? Now there's a relationship that answer is going to bring you.
Right.
Is it one that's, he's here, I'm here? Or is it, he's here, I'm here? Right?
Right, right.
Right? So those two answers are going to define your relationship. Is it this far apart, or is it like this? Right? And when the Bible talks about faith, we're getting to the miracle. This guy believes in miracles. Why? Okay? Faith is about learning to agree with this.
Whether or not you see it?
Huh? So, when the Bible talks about faith, we're on a journey, and we're learning to close this gap. This journey of closing this gap, who he is and who I am, I'm drawing into this relationship like this, right? Faith is this journey that's closing that gap, okay? So, some of us are stuck, and we're not making much progress connecting, so to speak, right? When the Bible talks about faith, it's saying, you've answered this question about who he is, and you're discovering, it's okay, you're discovering who you are. Who knows, God's not conflicted about his role.
Right.
Got
right,
it?
Right, right, right.
Who is the conflicted person in the relationship?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Me, right? So the discovery's on me. Holy Spirit is revealing to me the answer to those two questions,
right?
My faith journey is about walking in that relationship. Mm. I know who I am.
Right.
I'm waking up to a kingly assignment. I'm waking up to authority. I'm waking up to, I was going to say the Great Commission, really the challenge, the great challenge, right? He prays for the sick and he sees them healed. Mm-hmm. Well, that's your challenge too. That's not my experience, right? What am I doing? I'm learning to walk in that challenge. Some of us are meeting the challenge better than others, but right? So faith is walking in that reality, okay? Here's who he is. Here's who I am. We're learning how to do life together. Faith is about doing life in that reality, right? Here's who he is. Here's who I am. I'm waking up to this. When he says walk in faith, it's that reality. Now, my experience may be, I don't see that. I'm not experiencing it. I'm over here. I'm way over here in this other spectrum, right? And he says, faith is believing that's your goal.
Right.
Faith is saying, but that's what he's, I'm not seeing it, but that's what he says about me, right? So in Hebrews, he says this, faith is this, 11:1, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Hand me that, Darla. No, actually, I want to read it out of the Passion Translation for you. Right? Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Let my Passion Translation open up here for a second. Sorry, I had it open and it got closed. All right. Hebrews 11:1 of the Passion Translation says this.
What part?
Verse 1.
Okay.
11, verse 1. Now faith, right? Walking in the, we've answered those questions. Faith is walking in that relationship. Now faith brings our hopes into reality. I see what he says. I see what he's told me to do. I see what my authority is. I see the conclusion to sickness, right? Mm-hmm. I see how he's responded to deaf ears and blind eyes and cancerous tumors, okay? I see what that is. Faith brings that hope of that into this now reality, okay? Let's go on. And it becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. Okay? Mm-hmm. I like how he says that. I practice my faith. This is what he says. I'm reaching into how he sees the circumstance, how he sees me, how he understands how he and I partner together. I'm calling that into my now. Right? And he says, that's your foundation that you're going to anchor everything else on.
Anchor.
Right? That's my foundation. Now, everything I long for comes from that foundation. Right? So now I'm literally calling that reality into my now. So my faith is like growing into that reality of I'm in him and he's in me. Adolf.
You had a key word and you said practice.
Yeah.
And basically what you desire, once you know who you are with him in him, you go practice what that hunger and that desire that's inside of you. So I did was do what I saw other people doing.
Right.
I started chasing people around Walmart and just started praying for them.
Hey, what happened when you saw somebody get healed? What did it do inside of you?
Oh man, joy.
Yeah, and does it actually, does it encourage you? Does it spur you on to the next one?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay. That's what he's saying here. And let me read it again. I'll finish the verse this time. Faith brings our hopes into reality, and it becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's all the evidence required to prove what's still unseen. He's literally inviting you to say, that's your normal. That's what you're called to do. Mm-hmm. So faith is practicing that. It spurs you on, and it makes you hungry for more, for those things that you're hoping for, right? That's mm-hmm. why it's like he has this insatiable appetite to see people heal. That's why he can sit in a recovery room in ICU with tubes in his body and pray for a nurse to be healed, whatever that, right? It's like, hey, I can take care of this. Why? Because this isn't what's disabling me.
Right.
Right? This isn't what's disabling
me. That's so good.
I know who I am. I know who he is. I know what we do together. I know my assignment. Okay? And I practice it. That's what my faith is, right? So he says, go, that's you want this? You want more of this? He says, practice this faith. Practice that relationship. Right? So I want to expect miracles. Room full of people at a funeral. I don't get it. He sees miracles, but he's sick. Right? So what is that faith that expects miracles? Okay. So he tells us this in Hebrews 11:1. Kickstarts it for us. This is what faith is, people. Calling this into our now. That hope into today's reality, okay? Verse 6 of Hebrews says this. It's impossible to please God without faith. Mm-hmm. Okay? We just discussed. Mm-hmm. We talked what faith was, right? Faith is just me practice. I know this relationship. We're starting to discover each other. Faith is me practicing the relationship. God loves it when we practice being his kids. God loves it. God enjoys it when you wake up to your assignment as king. Mm-hmm. God gets a big smile on his face when you walk in authority. Because, right, he said, this is who you are. And now you're waking up to who you are. It makes him happy. Right? It's not about performance. It's not about rules and following a checklist. It's his kids going, oh, I know who I am. Right? He says it's impossible to please God without faith. Right? Anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him, who diligently seek him. Right? So let's break it down. Faith is the practice of this relationship. Got it? We're walking in. Here's who he says we are. Now he tells me, faith is made up of two parts. I want to be a practicer of that. I want to expect miracles, right? It's two pieces to that. What makes up that practice? One, believe. We'd answer those questions. And believe is also part of this, I know what the promise is. I know what he says about sickness, right? I know what he says about lots of complicated things that require a supernatural response. He says, your faith has two pieces, believe, and now be a pursuer, be a seeker, right? Be hungry for the, it's like, what am I doing? I'm feeding my identity. I'm feeding what he says about his kid. And I'm sincerely, diligently, hungry, running after those things that are going to feed. This is who I am, right? So I want to be a practicer. It's like, it's almost like an equation, but there's two pieces to it. I know this is what he said, and I'm going to go about feeding those things about what he says, right? Here, about that pursuing part, about that feeding part. He actually says, be hungry. And I was telling Darren Smith yesterday, he says, and we were laughing because he kept seeing that Dos Equis guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and what's he say?
What is it?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a beer?
It's a beer commercial. Oh. It's like, stay thirsty, my friends.
Oh.
Right? And we were laughing. It's like, that's what he says here. It's like, always be inviting more. Always. It's like, always ask for the more. Always ask for the bigger thing. Always. It's like, give me another one, God. Give me another one. Give me another one.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this in Psalms 107 about the you're made to be a pursuer. You're made to be a diligent seeker. He says, Psalms 107, verse 9, he satisfies the thirsty,
mm-hmm.
and he fills the hungry with good things.
There you go.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Be a seeker. He says, you're hungry? You're a pursuer. You're diligently. I'm going to pour good things into that space that you're giving me, right? Give it to me. I'm going to fill it with good things. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. You seek me? You pursue me? What's he say?
You will
find me. He says, and when you search for me, you're going to do it with all your heart. He says, it's like none of this. It's like, no, man, just give it all.
Right.
Give me all of it. I will watch what I do with a hungry heart. Watch what I do with open hands, open arms, okay? Matthew 7 says this about the seeker, starting verse 7. Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. He says, keep on seeking, and you will find, right? Keep on knocking, the pursuer. Drip, 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 right? Keep on knocking. The door will be open to you. Everyone who asks,
receives.
Right. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks,
open.
All the time, right? So faith is two parts here. He says, you want to be a practicer? What are we doing? Because faith, our faith should expect a miracle.
Right?
Our faith should expect, I pray, they're healed, right? He says, well, first, be a seeker. Make sure that's, call it a activity, call it a discipline, call it a response, but it's like, today I'm waking, man. God, more. God, I want more. It's like, I'm not satisfied. I'm asking for this. I'm asking for this. I'm wondering about this, okay? He also tells, he says, and to the believer, right? He says this. He said, but believers, we literally know how to see the unseen. Mm-hmm. Believers don't. In fact, how about this? I told you there's an ability. There's over here. That's what we're hoping for. Let's make it about Adolf. Cancer healed.
Right.
Right. Our faith is calling that hope into our now, okay? Praying for a pedic, praying for a bum shoulder or a bad knee. We're calling that hope. Believers see the unseen, right? Believers, they understand how to identify hope and call it to now, right? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. He says, rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen.
Mm.
Right? There's our hope. Mm-hmm. For the things we see now, they'll soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, they'll last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's awesome.
He tells us, the believers, man, it's like, you were created for hope. The believer knows how to hope. Practice hope. Okay? Hebrews 12:1-2 says this, let us run with endurance the race that God set before us, right? So now faith is two parts. It's like, I know I'm seeing these things. I'm practicing how to pull that reality to my now, right? And I'm feeding my engine, putting gas in my car with my seeking, my hunger, right? My knocking, my persistence, right? There's a pursuit that's happening here. He says faith is made up of that pursuit, that hungry, hope-filled pursuit. That's what faith is. That's we're just good. Practicing the relationship. Right? So he says, so let's run. Right? There's our practice. Let's run with endurance the race that God has set before us. By the way, this is the next chapter. He's setting you up. He tells you, this is what faith looks like. This is how you activate it with your believing and your seeking. And we practice it. Now he says, let's go run. Right? Hebrews 12. He says, let's go run that race that he set before us. That's your race. That's your assignment. Okay? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith.
Oh, so good.
So, you want to know how to be faith? You want to know faith that expects miracles? Jesus says, here's how you believe. Here's how you see. Here's how you pursue. Let's practice that. We have a race. We have an assignment. Let's go get on that racetrack, right? Mm-hmm. And when I'm not seeing them healed, Jesus. I didn't see an answer to my prayer, Jesus, right? I keep my, because what's the world say? Well, okay, what went wrong here? Oh, shoot, I probably should have read my Bible more.
Miracles aren't for today.
Miracles are, and we start creating excuses. And once we start creating excuses, once we start looking for all the faults in our application here, we've taken our eyes off this reality and put them where?
Right here.
Right?
Fear and doubt.
Fear and doubt. This world is consumed by fear and doubt. Right?
Guilt.
Guilt, shame, condemnation. Right. They're disqualifiers that say, you know what those are going after, really?
Identity.
Yes. So the two questions. Who's he? Who am I? My identity. So guilt and shame and condemnation, rejection, they all start disabling that answer to the second question. I'm not qualified to be a king. I can't have authority. Look at all the failures of my life. Look at all, right? And that's, so, yeah, go ahead.
Read that last verse again where you said the perfecter.
All right, Hebrews 12. Verse 1 and 2 says, let's run with endurance the race God has set before us. Mm-hmm. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus,
right,
the champion who initiates and perfects our faith.
So I just want to point out, like, sometimes we think we have to work really hard or do the right things, or, you know, we're striving, we're trying to, and it says this, you're saying this journey of faith, of bringing this into now. He says, Jesus, you keep your eyes on Jesus.
He'll do it.
He initiates it and he perfects it.
Right.
Like, with your eyes on Jesus, this is going to happen.
So, am I doing it great right now? No, he woke me up. Jesus, the initiator, woke me up. I'm getting a revelation. Oh, and as I stay hungry, it's like, oh, that's who, more of who he is. Oh, that's me. I'm growing in this revelation of those identities, that relationship. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, the initiator,
right,
says, you know, almost like this big stop, like break the shell kind of thing, right? Now, he's perfecting me. He's maturing me. We're growing up in this relationship, right? But he says, that's like, don't stop. Don't look back. Don't go back and pick up that old stuff. Right. Don't go, right? This is who you are, right? So there's this great challenge, right? So faith is those two pieces. We're practicing this. We're putting this together, right? Now, some of the things that disable this practicing, and we talked a little bit about it last week, about when we talked about more of this being kings. I told you like three things. One was stop begging God to act, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's like, we know who he is.
Yeah.
We know who we are. Right. We have authority. He said, go do these things, right? So I told you, stop begging God. I said, look, we need to start. Let's just exchange that with thanking him. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, look what you've done. Mm-hmm. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to cancer. Mm-hmm. Look what you've done to blind eyes. Look what you've done to death. Wow, thanks, God. Look what you've done to marriages. Look what you've done to finances. Look what you've done. So we thank him, right?
Right.
Number two, I told you, is to stop voicing doubts.
Right.
Right? And declare his word.
Mm.
Right? We look at our experience and we say, well, my experience defines me. No. God says your experience doesn't define you. He actually talked to us, right? We just went through it about calling this unseen thing into our now. We're calling our unseen into our experience. Mm-hmm. Clearly our experience doesn't define us. Right?
No.
So he says, stop voicing doubts. Declare his word. This is what he says. This is part of the keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Because that's the third thing I told you. When we don't see the miracle, we don't see the result, we go, oh, that didn't work. Turn the lens at us.
I think it actually introduces a static in being able to receive from the Lord.
Right.
If you're, I think it's like.
Like you disable yourself.
Here's my tuner. Right? Here's my tuner. I can point to Jesus and tune in and get fed. I take my tuner off. What's feeding me? That's where the fear and the doubts and all this other condemnation and the world system, all this other culture comes in. And so it's like, I told you, stop begging, just walk in thankfulness. Stop voicing doubts. Declare his word. Take your eyes off yourself. Keep them on Jesus, right? Right? So in this practice of, okay, I want to be that. Psalms 145 says this, right? Maybe let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let them proclaim your power, and I'll meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I'll proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They'll sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Verse 9, the Lord is good to everyone. What am I doing? I'm practicing. This is what he says about this relationship, about us walking in faith, right? The Lord's good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Verse 10, all of your works will thank you, Lord. And your faithful followers, there you go, faith-filled people, your faithful followers will praise you. They'll speak of the glory of your kingdom. They'll give examples of your power. They'll tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule throughout all generations, Lord, always. I want to be, all right, the faithful person that expects the miracle. Make your language about expecting the miracle. Make your language about agreeing. This is the declaration of his word. This is how he said the relationship works. This is what he says you walk in. This is what he says is the inheritance of your kids, right? And it's like, and then I have this expectation from that point. This like, okay, that was me. That we just set this whole thing up. The sick person just came in front of me. We just set it all up, God. We're ready, right? Romans 4, 20, verse 20 through 24 says this. So, and Abraham, he never wavered in believing that. He never wavered in believing God's promise. It says, in fact, his faith grew stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in this that he brought glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And because of Abraham's faith,
mm-hmm.
God counted him as righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus, right, the initiator and perfecter of our faith. Right? He says, practice your faith this way. This is what you can expect. And we know as we walk in this, we know he gets excited. Father gets excited when his kids wake up to who they are.
Yeah.
Father gets happy. happy father is pouring good on his kids.
Awesome.
Happy father is filling your sack with good. We read the verse. Come on, ask me. Come on, seek. Come on, knock on the door. Right? And I'll fill your sack with good.
Oh,
watch,
so good.
Right? Watch me pour into it.
Happy father.
So we have this faith that believes for the miracle, that I should say it differently, that expects the miracle, right? And we know this. There's lots of things, and I think I'll sort of stop here, but it's like we know some things that he tells us. He knows when you walk that way, when you practice this way, when this is your faith, right? I hope you're getting an answer. This is what faith is. This is what it means to talk about, to be a part of, to share faith. When you share your faith, that's what you're telling him. Oh, this is who you are. This is who God is. This is what it looks like to partner that way, right? What? You're having trouble at home? Oh, whoa, this is what this does for that, right? So this is sharing your faith. He tells us angelic activity will be around you.
Right. Yeah, we had angels in here.
Right? He tells us, as you practice your faith, as you walk in your faith, there's an invitation to the angelic, right? Hebrews talks about it. Psalms talks about it. I won't read those verses, right? There's an invitation for angelic ministering spirits. You know what those ministering spirits are doing? Who are they ministering to?
You.
Right? Literally, you know what?
In the room.
I think they're like cheering you on. I think they're like bolstering you up. I think they're like filling in the holes. You have a leak in your dike, or you know, it's like, hey, let's plug that. It's like they're on a mission to make you better. On a mission to minister to your body, your mind.
During worship.
Come on, tell me.
I did.
See.
Where were they?
Right there, dancing.
Huh.
Yeah, there was like kind of like a pink aura around.
Awesome.
I would encourage you, in your seeking and knocking and asking, ask God for more of that. Ask God, give me angel eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the angelic around me. I want to see the angels. God, I want to see your ministering angels. He tells us that you'll have encounters. How about the one in Acts? Right? As they're waiting hungry.
Mm-hmm.
God says, wait on me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Acts 4 says, after the meeting, after their prayer, the place shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, and they preached the word of God with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you want to pour gas on your faith fire? Right? He promises, you practice faith, you walk this way in believing and seeking. He promises the encounter. He promises the angelic. Right? All of it there to like... To just build you and strengthen you. He tells us you practice these things as you're waiting for the miracle. He tells us strength comes. I can read a half a dozen verses about him telling, inviting you to walk in this, and strength is your portion. He says as soon as you pray, he says he answers, right? And he says he's going to encourage you by giving you strength. What's he doing? He's like, it's like braces on your legs, on your faith legs. It's like this confidence in your spirit about this is what faith. This is what he was feeling when he early days of praying for the sick, and he starts seeing them healed. This boldness comes on him, a strength comes on him, an encouragement comes on him, right? The enemy would love, you know, I think one of the reasons sickness, and it's like the enemy, what's it going to do? Stop that. Stop his encouraged talk. Stop his bold acts. Right? Stop walking supernaturally. Stop walking in your mantle of faith. Stop walking in your kingdom. Right? It's like,
Let's just shut this guy down. He's driving me nuts. He keeps praying for people to get healed. Mm-hmm. Right? He tells us, by the way, Peter says, stay alert because that's going to happen. I'm not saying, you know, look, God didn't make him sick. Do you know that? But he tells us, as you walk this way, be alert because he's a jerk. Calls him a roaring lion, and he's on a prowl to disable you in your walk of faith. Okay? So he comes in strength, but he tells us this too. He says, and I'll stop here just based on time, okay? That he comes to strengthen, he comes to encourage. Jesus came to said it this way, anything that I did, you can do. Anything I walked in, you can walk in. Anything I'm saying, you can be saying. Mm-hmm. Anything I'm praying, you can be praying, all right? And so we have an expectation for miracles. We have an expectation to walk in faith. We have an expectation to see him healed.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So Holy Spirit.
Right.
Holy Spirit.
We just say, come feed our faith this morning, God. We're believers believing.
Yeah.
We're hungry believers pursuing.
Right.
We're believers seeking. God, we're believers advancing. God, we're your kids that are moving forward and saying yes to the practice of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.